everybody. Welcome back. Ping. This is episode 137. And after 137 episodes, we decided it was time to mix things up a little bit.
Oh, really?
And get a new set.
Look at this.
This
is our
new set.
I don't know what it looks like. You guys will probably see this before I do.
That's probably true. I probably won't even watch it at all.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much how things work out. So
anyway, so this is episode 137, and last time we were here, we had Clint, and now next time we're here, Paul again won't be with us.
I know.
I feel like you're leaving me.
You think so?
I'm having abandonment issues. Well, I feel like you just drop in once a month or so.
Like we swapped. It's like you did a bunch of traveling, and I had Adam and Boys Without Toys.
Right.
And now I'm doing the same.
Critically acclaimed.
Yeah.
What critics acclaimed it?
People
Your
were
mother?
Very critical, and then they were claiming that it was awesome.
And it was awesome.
But I decided that over the last 6 months I wanted to travel a bunch, so I'm traveling.
So you basically have no remorse, no feelings of guilt.
No
pains, heartache, because you've missed us and our adoring fans.
I got to spread the good word of System Center Advisor, my super secret sequel project from way back in the day. And I got to go to London for a week at the Sequel Bits X conference.
Listen to you.
Yeah, and then I spent a week.
I went to London.
Yeah.
Cheerio.
Yeah.
What else are you going to brag about?
I got into this place called the Experimental Cocktail Club and got 19 US dollar drinks.
Nice.
Which was,
Were they serving absinthe?
There were some drinks with absinthe in it, but I'm not a big fan of absinthe, so I didn't have any of those. But then I went to Budapest for a week.
Budapest, apparently the correct pronunciation.
Yep.
Yeah. I always thought it was Budapest.
Yeah, well,
because I'm a dumb American.
Yeah,
it is.
But yeah, so
and now you're heading off to.
I'm heading off to LA for a few days, and then I'm going to Las Vegas for the Microsoft Management Summit, where we're going to talk some more about System Center Advisor and some of the new things that we just put into the.
Well, we're happy you could stop by.
I know,
if ever so briefly.
Well,
I'm glad
that you finally cleaned up the place for me. So
I did. Well, you messed it up, so my job to clean up after Paul. But before Paul has to jet off again, why don't we actually do a show?
Oh, okay, we should do that.
Okay, let's do that. So, yet another fascinating presentation came out of TED. TED, of course, a conference that you've always wanted to go to.
Always.
Your dream.
And present at.
And present. That's right. I want to go to, you want to present. You're an overachiever.
Right.
I just want to watch and be a witness to these things. Anyways, a guy named Marco Tempest. Marco Tempest, who did their homework.
I know. I'm only doing this once a month.
Yeah, you have time to prepare.
That's right.
So, Marco Tempest did this presentation, which essentially is using live augmented reality. Using the Kinect sensor, and he's on stage, sort of doing. He's an illusionist.
Right, an illusionist dad.
That's right, a dad.
Dad. Well, it's from Arrested Development. That was probably before your time.
Yeah, no, I haven't.
There's a character called Job, and he does all these things, and the dad's like, "Oh, you know, nice trick, son." And he's like, "It's an illusion, Dad. An illusion."
I didn't see that one, but I do know about the Bob La La Blog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bob La Blah La Blog.
Yeah. Oh, God, good times in that show.
You don't need double talk. You need Bob La Blah.
Bob La Blah. No habla español.
Anyway, so we'll let you take a look at the video and sort of just decide for yourself how real you think this is.
Think of it as a kind of technological magic. So, fingers crossed, and keep your eyes on the big screen. Augmented reality is the melding of the real world with computer-generated imagery. It seems the perfect medium to investigate magic and ask why in a technological age we continue to have this magical sense of wonder. Magic is deception, but it is a deception we enjoy. To enjoy being deceived, an audience must first suspend its disbelief. It was the poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge who first suggested this receptive state of mind.
I try to convey a semblance of truth in my writing, to produce for these shadows of the imagination a willing suspension of disbelief that, for a moment.
But my belief is that while some of the stuff maybe he says at this beginning that this is all done live and none of it is pre-generated, but I think he's lying.
Yeah, well, that's what illusionists do. They
lie.
They basically lie to you. They tell you something that's true, and it never, like, oh, it isn't always a true statement.
Right.
So
it's got pieces of truth in it.
Yeah. So I've seen this guy's work before, and he is incredibly well practiced. Like, everything that he does, and every good illusionist that can get, you know, millions of hits on things, can really put on a performance where every little thing is very much acted out and thought out beforehand. And I also wondered the same thing when I first watched this. Like, is this just like a pre-recorded thing that he's kind of like...
He's matching. Yeah, he's trying to match his motions. Because if you look closely, I feel like there were times where his motions, his real-life motions, as compared to the TV screen behind him, sometimes he was a little before, and sometimes he was a little after. You know, and I can live with a digital delay, you know, a couple seconds, but not the screen moving before him.
I think there is some lag, like even with the Kinect today, like if you move around, like the your skeletal motion in the games will be like just very, very slightly delayed.
That's to be expected. I can suspend my suspension of disbelief with that.
I do think, because I respect the TED organization, that they're not going to just put up somebody that's going to like just
that's
mimic
true.
Out something.
That's so true. That, I'm that's such a skeptic.
Yeah, that's the only reason why I think this is real. But it's pretty cool that that this illusionist is trying to become a cyber illusionist, and he's had many, many different videos out there, ranging from like smartphone videos now to the Kinect and the real live augmented reality to take what are, you know, typical like parlor tricks of like making things disappear with your hands, and like the scarf around the neck or the
chain or the rope where he
right. Yeah. And, I mean, those things have been around for a very, very long time, but now he's taking to the next level and trying to apply technology to give that extra wow factor or pizzazz.
I think it's cool. I mean, personally, my take on magicians and magic, which I love.
Illusionists.
I actually went and bought the Criss Angel magic kit so I could learn how to levitate myself. I'm really into magic.
So you just push up your one foot.
That's pretty much where I spent my $50. So that was really awesome. Anyway, like, what really fascinates me with magicians is the up close magicians, you know, who can do it right in your face. Because that is amazing to me. Anytime you bring in a prop or, you know, bring in this sort of digital technology and stuff like that, now I feel like it's a pretty show.
Yeah.
But it's no longer like, whoa, how'd you do that? It's like, well, you know, technology did that. That's how you can make anything happen with, you know, a good editing system.
Yeah. And I feel the same way when I, like, I think there maybe about a decade ago, they had some of the top big magicians' illusions that were completely debunked and demystified. And they showed that it was really just incredible technology and things with like all sorts of hidden compartments or like machines that would like make people, it would look like actual people like moving under the covers when really they're not there at all.
Right.
And that really just turned me off to the whole thing. So I was like, it's just technology.
It's just technology. Yeah. You want to see the guys up front in your face, you know, making things disappear and ashes appear on your forehead. But still really cool that this guy has the, you know, the forethought and the interest in technology to go ahead and take a Kinect sensor and turn it into this wonderful thing. So I'm always excited when people are using our technology in new and creative ways.
Yeah, I like it.
I like it.
Speaking of state-of-the-art technology,
yes,
our next story brings us to the wonderful world of Windows XP.
Wow.
I loved
Windows XP.
Yeah.
It's a good operating system.
Apparently hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of people still use Windows XP, probably because they either love it or they don't want to upgrade.
Now, would you think that the reason they don't want to upgrade is, what, financial?
I think there's a bunch of different things. So the real story here is that there's now a two-year countdown from Microsoft saying that we are officially not going to support Windows XP. I believe it's in April of 2014.
2014, yeah. April 8th. To be precise.
April 8th?
Yes.
Okay.
Just to be completely accurate, Paul.
So we have this countdown clock, and there are all these analysts and people tweeting about this, saying, like, 2 years from now, there's still going to be a lot of people using Windows XP, and unless you get your act together now, you're not going to be able to, if you're a medium or enterprise business, you're not going to be able to completely rid yourself of Windows XP by the deadline.
So that would be bad.
Well, I don't know if it would necessarily be bad, because if you, so I come from the server space, and there are a lot of people out there with servers that are out of support. Mm-hmm. And it's a good or a bad thing. If you have an old server with like an old application that's been running fine for years, the likelihood of that having a problem from a software point of view, I would say, is rather low.
Okay.
Because you're not changing it. You're not updating that application. You're not, you know, really affecting the system at all. Now, sure, there may be some type of, like, hardware failure or something that may happen from that perspective. But if the software has been running fine for years on end, it's not a big deal.
But you're not going to get the advantage of all the...
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You're not going to get the advantage of having more power-efficient hardware or better software or things that make you more productive. And I think the same is somewhat true in a client space, having something like Windows XP out there. But it still can... I think Microsoft has difficulty when there are businesses that don't see the value in upgrading.
Right.
So it doesn't surprise me if someone has a really old PC that has Windows XP on it and they don't want to upgrade that same PC to something like Windows 7 or eventually Windows 8.
Mm-hmm. But or Vista.
But what does confuse me is when someone does buy brand new hardware and then they put Windows XP on it instead of Windows 7. Because, like, you can't even buy Windows XP anymore. Like, you can only buy the Windows 7 licenses.
Right.
And then you can use those to downgrade and install Windows XP.
So do you think that's just people or creatures of habit and they don't want to take the, you know, week or so to learn the nuances of a new operating system?
I think that it's a couple of things. One is I think that there's some value in having a standardized OS across your company. So if everybody knows the same thing, you know that your applications and your custom applications work.
We need to evolve, people. We need to evolve. Grow. Yeah.
I'm on the same page. But I think it's a matter of making sure that people understand the value in having the newer software, especially if they're already buying it, and to make sure that there's good application compatibility so that people that have made the custom applications that run on the client, or even this article alluded to, there's a lot of custom web applications that use very specific like HTML or CSS things that were only available in IE6.
Right.
And that's obviously
that's gone the way of the dodo bird.
Well, there's still hundreds of millions of people that use it out there.
But we don't support it anymore.
And just because we don't support it doesn't mean that people can't use it.
We don't support your use of it. That's right.
So
does it drive you nuts, like when you go to get your oil changed or something, and you know you complain about how much they charge you, and then you have to walk around behind the counter and look at their computer so you can argue with them more, you know, close up front and close and personal, and you see that on their system, like their computer system, is running like Windows 95 or something.
Yeah,
it bugs me.
Which bugs you more, that they run Windows 95 or that they overcharge you for the oil change?
I mean, equally annoying.
Oh, that's you have a lot of passion. See, I personally don't care
because I
would say like someone that made this software 20 years ago, and it's still working for them, great. I mean, sure, they probably are going to get hacked 10 ways from Sunday if they are connecting that to the internet, but...
There you go. That's one way to get them an upgrade. Put fear in their
yes,
hearts.
Yes, fear. Let's put some very baseless facts out there and
I know, we'll be just like Fox News. So we're going to slow it on down now, and I'm going to tell you a personal story. So this past week, I had some 15-year-old boys, family members, staying with me. Not just random 15-year-old boys. They were family. And
specific ones that you bought on the internet.
Yes, exactly. anyway, and they of course, all they want to do is play Xbox Live. And like, for whatever reason, I had like my internet would go down or power would go down, whatever. For whatever reason, I had to keep coming in and
Tegan
signing in to my Xbox Live account for them. Like, it would get signed out and I have to sign back in. Very annoying. So every now and then, I have to go into the living room and sign back in.
What, you don't have it just saved, so you just click on your avatar?
It would get, like, thrown out, and I'd have to re-enter the password. Trust
Weird.
Me.
I've never had to do that, but continue.
This happened. This is a real story. This is truth. So anyway,
sure
it's very annoying when this would happen, because as you know, the typing structure is, like, very annoying. You have to, like, tick, 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 over left, right, to the L, and, like, type in your username, and your, you know, it's really annoying. So someone else out there, my people, have also found this annoying and have gone so far as to create a new typing structure on Xbox.
Yeah, the guy's name is Uri Gorin.
Uri Gorin, and he created the Kintext.
Kintext, yeah. So it's supposed to be a new and faster typing interface for the Xbox 360.
Which would just be so awesome, because it's so cumbersome the way it currently is.
Well, so the way that Kintext is supposed to work is that there's a Kinect that you have attached to your Xbox, and then you can basically wave your arms to 9 different groups of letters. So it can be like A through D, or A through C, D and E, and then once you hover over that, then you can choose one of the letters. So now you have the ability with like just 2 motions to choose a letter.
Get the group, get the letter.
Right, versus having to like to go through the whole alphabet. Now, what I'm sure this is an improvement over the default just like alphabetized
keyboard.
Alphabet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the keyboard though isn't like even a QWERTY keyboard, right? Like it's just A B C D E F G.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's not even like optimized for.
Right. Like my brain does not understand the letters in that order.
So actually, what I've started doing is when I was playing Halo, because I was, you know, preparing
for our tournament,
our Halo match, which is, I'm sure, imminent.
Yes.
At any point.
Yeah.
It could just happen.
Looming.
Yeah. And so when I started doing that, I started actually getting pretty good, and then very cocky. So I'd be like doing extra tea bags on people and just, you know, mutilating their corpses and all that stuff.
Well,
so you clearly don't know how to play Halo. And but
you
then,
were teabagging people.
But then they would send me like all these really angry messages. So so before I would like report them to Xbox for being,
because you're that guy.
Yeah, I am.
A little tattletale narc.
I would respond by trying to like type all this stuff in, and then I realized this was not a very efficient use of my time.
Right.
So then I got the Xbox app on my phone.
Oh, the companion app.
The companion app.
Yeah.
And then I could just text them right back on my phone and like play. So it was the most amazing thing.
So you've gone ahead and figured out another a better way to Kintext, something we can have now, because Kintext is not currently available. We're hoping that someday it'll be adopted in the future. So Paul's gone ahead and solved the problem for us.
I know. And
there
by me, it's really the wonderful folks over at Xbox that have already done this.
And Windows Phone.
Oh, love it.
So I just want to point out, if you hadn't already heard, you can now get a Nokia Lumia 900.
Nokia?
Oh, jeez.
I thought you had it all figured out.
Something, an N-O-K-I-A, Lumia 900, which is a very slick, very fast, very stylish phone for $99.
$99.
Which is a bargain price.
Yeah.
I don't think you can get anything for $99 these days.
Oh, what can else you get for $99? Yeah, I don't know.
You
can get a professionally designed resume for $99.
By you?
No, not by me. There's some resume site online that charges $99 just for the template. And they don't even like do your resume.
That's right. And if it's a good resume, you can get hired at Microsoft and get a free phone.
Brilliant. I wish I were to get a free phone other than the phone that I have right now. Even though I like it, I'm sure I would love this Lumia. So the Lumia 900, it's going to be, isn't it exclusive to AT&T for some period of time?
Yeah.
And I think the cool thing about this is I've actually heard a lot of people in the blogosphere saying that they're genuinely excited about this, that this may be like the first real Windows phone and like the breakout phone for Windows Phone.
I've played with it. I don't own one. I own the 800. I played with the 900. It's really great. And it comes with some really cool content like the ESPN Sports Hub, Nokia Drive, which is sort of a turn-by-turn navigation app, AT&T Mobile UVerse, which of course all AT&T subscribers have. And then there was something else about music. Excuse me, that's
sure,
my stomach
I'm sure
growling.
It plays music.
No. It's got the partnership with Monster that yielded the Nokia Purity HD.
Oh,
there you go.
Very nice.
So you can go out and get it now.
Yeah. So what I hope will happen here is I hope the reps at AT&T will actually be able to choose to have this phone as their default phone, so they actually start using it.
So they're using it and talking about it,
and recommending
showing
it to customers.
That would be good.
I think that's probably the
we
biggest
get
influencers.
Get the word out there. I know. Walk into the store. They should suggest this phone.
Yeah.
And hopefully that'll happen.
Yeah.
All right, that wraps up this week. Paul, so good to have you.
I know, it
Wish
is.
We could
it's
keep
it's
you,
good for me to be here.
He's off again, so we will try to find some sort of replacement for you next week because the show must go on.
We should do a contest where a Niner can come in and actually meet you in person and do a show with you.
That's a good idea.
Is it a good idea?
I like that idea.
Because when I was in London, someone was like, oh, you do that podcast. And I was like, oh, yeah, do you watch it? And they're like,
no.
Your co-host is so hot.
Yeah.
And I was like,
what other
podcasts
do you do? I would love that. How do we do that?
We'll figure it out.
This is what you're good at. You're good at coming up with ideas.
I'm an idea guy.
And then you go, Laura, go execute on
that. Right, because this is
your
job.
And then nothing
gets done. And it's my hobby. So we'll try and figure out if any of you guys are interested and you're
and you happen to live in Redmond, Washington.
Right. Like, if you can get yourself here and you're as interesting and funny as me.
Right.
And you won't be drooling over Laura, then...
Yeah, it wouldn't look good on camera.
Yeah, probably not so much. We don't want to hire bouncers or anything like that. But, just send in a little video resume, maybe.
A video resume.
Oh,
I like that.
Brilliant.
God, the ideas just
look
keep
at
coming.
This.
Pause.
All right,
don't
well,
leave us, Paul.
I'm going to have to leave, so we'll call
all right.
The show.
Well, we'll see you next week. Follow me at ElfBoy.
At Paul Mass or Facebook.com. Paul Mass.
That thing is so big.